Welcome to the Back in Time podcast with Kyle and JD, where every week we jump into our DeLorean, cruise to 88 miles per hour, and travel back in time to review our favorite films. Every week we talk about current cinema, the latest trailers, and we pick a new favorite film every single episode.
But I need a nuclear reaction to generate the 1.21 gigawatts of electricity.
1.21 gigawatts!
Don't say that! Never say that! Goonies never say die!
You're the best! We're the beautiful! We're the only!
Now, here's your host, Kyle Autry, and his co-host, JD.
All right, welcome back to the Back in Time podcast. I am your host, Kyle Autry, joined, as always, by my co-host, JD. JD, how are you, man?
Woo! Yeah!
Is that your Will Smith?
Yeah!
All right, man, excited to jump into this week. So, other than your woohoo, what else is going on?
Well, geez, this whole week just flew by. I don't even have a good what's up from last weekend, from last recording. Man, my life is boring.
I have to say, we got a lot of really good feedback on our last episode. I guess this is a good time to talk about it. We got into Dracula from 1931 yet last week as part of a big Universal Monster podcast. And it was fun, man. I enjoyed the episode. We did get some good feedback online. Did you hear anything on your end?
Yeah, I mean, it's always good to get good feedback, get input from you guys. Obviously, the reason why we exist as a podcast is to provide you guys with some fun listens. So please continue to give us that feedback and, you know, hearing good things. We did a deep dive into Dracula. And, you know, it really seems like our audience kind of wants to get more into that sort of horror mythology, you know, that goes beyond just the screen. And there's so many subgenres in the horror whole shebang that we can sort of tackle, you know, besides just vampires. I mean, we haven't even hit zombies yet.
Yeah, that's true. We haven't done anything zombie related yet. That'll be coming up, I'm sure. So we'll dive into that on another episode, but I want to thank you guys for hitting the download button on today's podcast, and I want to thank you for helping us pick this topic. You know, a couple weeks back, we did Will Smith Week. We weren't sure how you guys were going to respond. We didn't know if you wanted to see or hear a TV series, but it ended up winning the poll over some pretty cool movies. So we're going to be discussing Fresh Prince of Bel-Air Episode 1 here in just a couple minutes. But as always, you can follow us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. Everything is at Back in Time Pod. We also have our blog up at backintimepodcast.wordpress.com. You can follow along there. And every single episode is up on iTunes, Google Play, Podtrack, and full episodes are all up on YouTube. JD, let's jump into our segment of what's coming down the pipeline here.
Hey, I'm freezing my butt off here. There's cold air coming from that event.
Yeah, we froze the pipe. We're going for a little ride.
So every week, we talk about what's coming down the pipeline for the show, what's coming out in theaters. And I wanted to start by just talking about next week. Next week is going to be a big one for us. We are discussing The Lost World Jurassic Park, the sequel to the massive franchise of Jurassic Park. And of course, that's just a couple days before the actual movie hits theaters for Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom. JD, let's preview it here just real quick. What are you looking forward to most when we jump into The Lost World Jurassic Park?
Absolutely nothing.
Really?
Yeah, I gotta say, as it's well known that I'm a big Jurassic Park fan.
You are?
I am. I actually own two posters, identical posters of Jurassic Park, but I'm not a fan of Lost World.
And I actually really like Lost World. Maybe we're going to have some different opinions here when we get into the episode, but what is it that you don't like and why is it that they leave the park?
I mean, we've hit that pretty hard, you know, over the course of some teaser episodes and some full episodes. The fact that once you leave the park, the whole concept of Jurassic Park crumbles. Right. It's like, you know, you can masturbate in a Chuck E. Cheese, but it's not as fun to do it at home. My point being, Who says that?
That explains the lifetime ban and why you couldn't come with me to Chuck E. Cheese for my son's birthday.
Oh, well, yeah.
Turned away at the door.
All right, so I'll be straight up and I'll say I never saw Lost World when I was a kid. I did not see it in theaters. I did not see it on video. I don't think I saw it for the first time until college. And that may have been the only time that I've seen it. Okay. So I'm in for a lot of shocks and surprises when I rewatch it.
I'm going to call it now. I think you're going to like it more than you think you are. It's not that bad of a movie.
No, it really isn't. Catch me up to speed again, because I'm fundamentally behind in this regard. But is this the one with Alan Grant or is this the one with Jeff Goldblum?
Jeff Goldblum.
So this Vince is the Vaughn. Jeff Goldblum one. And yep. Vince Vaughn?
Vince Vaughn's in here as the camera guy.
And then the other one's got Alan Grant and William H. Macy.
Correct. And that one I do not like at all. I would give that one like a 6 out of 10. I actually think Lost World for me is like a 7 or an 8.
That's bold because you said the same thing about, Barney's first playground ride.
Well, it's a good ride. But yeah, that's going to be what's coming down the pipeline. So we'll be getting into Lost World next week and we'll have more upcoming stuff that we'll be previewing here in the future episodes. Let's talk about cinema here for a second. We've got a pretty big release coming up this week. I don't know if you're a fan at all of the Disney animated movies, but so we got the long-awaited sequel to The Incredibles, Incredibles 2 Hidden Theater. I know I'm pumped to go take the old boy to see that. JD, how about you? Any interest in Incredibles 2?
I gotta say, I've never seen the original.
Okay.
So the hype is lost on me. Is it that good of a movie?
I'm not a huge animated fan myself. I like it just because it's watchable and it's something my son likes, so we'll go see it. I'm probably more excited about Tag. I don't know if you've been watching any of the trailers for that, but it's about a group of former classmates who organize an annual game of tag, and they do it as they like travel all over the country. It's actually based on a true story. So I am interested in seeing that. It's got our buddy Ed Helms from The Office. Riddit. And it's got a pretty good cast. John Hamm, Jack Johnson, Jeremy Renner, Isla Fisher. Have you had any interest in seeing that one?
You know, I got to say, movies like that, and I know we discussed Tag in a previous episode. Check it out in our archives, whatever the hell episode it was.
Yep.
But I'll say this, I recently just watched Game Night.
Oh, I bragged about that movie. What did you think?
You did. I enjoyed it very much. I thought it was very funny. And knowing that Tag is coming out, I'm kind of expecting a similar kind of a offbeat yet cookie cutter vibe.
Yeah.
From this movie Tag. So I'm excited. I love just the straight genre high concept movies like that, where it's a really good idea and it's really kind of cool, and they stuff it fill with great funny actors and they just let them do their thing.
Yeah, I actually think Tag will be really good. I'd be surprised if I go watch that and I'm like, oh man, this movie's so dumb, what's going on here? I think there's too many good actors in that movie for it to fail.
I would agree, and that's why they put those good actors into that high-concept movie like that.
Yeah. Yep, so we'll see what happens, but that's what's coming up. Now that we've talked about what's coming down the pipeline, let's get into our, oh, wow, moments of the week.
Wow, flippers and all, wow.
Wow.
Wow. This is a nice boat. Wow, I sort of got screwed on the old bedroom selection. Every room's like 4 times as big as mine.
So, JD, I'll let you start it off, man. Any oh wow moments of the week for you?
Well, I don't want to step on your toes, but I saw the announcement over what IHOB is.
All right, go ahead. I have some opinions.
Okay, I'm not stepping. That wasn't your oh wow, was it?
No, it's not.
Okay, so if I read the article correctly, International House of Burgers?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, not to steal from my wrestling lingo, but do you think that's a shoot, man? I almost feel like they're kind of working us.
Yeah, from the piece that I read, it sort of took what they're doing and put it into a marketing campaign perspective to say, like, okay, obviously it's a limited time run that IHOP, whatever the hell we want to call it. Now I'm just going to call it IHOS. I like
it. Yeah.
They're unveiling a limited time burger run for a special menu. So they call it IHOB, and it's going to coincide with their campaign, and it's drawn them a lot of attention. Twitter had a field day with it. I saw Wendy's was picking fun at them on Twitter over it. So, it's a bold strategy when you can't make that good of a pancake and you're going to go ahead and rebrand yourself as a burger joint when there's so many good burgers to be had, including Good Burger.
Yeah, Good Future Burgers. Episode. That has to be a future episode, because welcome to Good Burger, home of the Good Burger. Can I take your order? Yeah, I can't
wait.
Was your
dad in that movie as well?
I wish he had a cameo, but he didn't get into that one. He was just a watcher from outside. But yeah, I mean, my oh wow moment of the week was not the burger, because I figured you may go that route, so I went the opposite. And I'm going to give my wow to the new Halloween trailer, man. I was blown away. I think the trailer looks awesome, and I am super pumped for this movie. Have you seen the trailer?
Okay, so bear with me. I knew that the trailer came out on Friday.
Yep.
I knew it. I was looking forward to it. I was anticipating it, and I was out of town. And so I didn't get a chance to sit down in front of my computer, because I don't like watching trailers or videos on my phone. I'm not that kind of guy. I'd much prefer to see it either, you know, on a computer screen or, you know, stream it onto my TV. So I didn't watch it over the weekend. I saw it trending on Twitter on Monday, and I just haven't got to it yet. But I've read nothing but good things. It's on my short list. I know Hollywood just released a buttload of trailers in that span of a few days. Like, there was a lot that came out along with Halloween too.
Sure was. Yeah, a lot of stuff coming out. But yeah, the one thing I like, and I don't think this will spoil anything for you, but during the trailer somebody mentioned something to Laurie Strode, like, isn't that your brother? And she goes, no, that's just something that people have made up. So that's how they kind of work around all the sequels. Is that stuff never really happened, which is what they said originally was going to be the theme of this movie. It's a true sequel to the original. And there's some good stuff thrown in there. Like, I think there's a little bit of some tongue-in-cheek, like, to some of the sequels. Like, he's in an insane asylum. I'm not going to ruin anything else for you, but the trailer is intense, and it's got me really pumped. And I was not that pumped for the zombie sequels. So this is, to me, even looked better, much better than those.
Okay, so you weren't pumped for the Rob Zombie sequels, but having watched them, did you at least leave, like, satisfied?
Oh, yeah. I actually did like his sequel.
Okay, me too.
I'm not a huge fan of the second one. That one was just a little convoluted for me. I think he was kind of forced into it, it felt like. The first one I really liked. We'll talk about those on future episodes, I'm sure.
Yeah, absolutely. I, you know, for what it's worth, you and I are both pretty big Rob Zombie fans. Big fan of his work and what he's able to visually and viscerally create. So I enjoyed both of his takes on Halloween. I thought they were pretty artistically phenomenal.
I look forward to the trailer coming out for his new movie, which will be a sequel to Devil's Rejects, which is really a sequel to House of Thousand Corpses. So call it number three.
And therein lies our difference, because you enjoyed Devil's Rejects and I did not.
Yeah, I really like Devil's Rejects. Probably more than House of a Thousand Corpses.
No way, man. House of a Thousand Corpses is a defining
movie
for me in 2003. Yeah. Like, that just solidified. I was just like, this is horror. This is great. And we get a young Dwight Schrute.
Yes, we do. Fish boy. Love it. All right, man. Well, that'll wrap it up for the oh wow moments of the week. Let's get to the reason we're here. Let's do some intro, The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. So So Fresh Prince of Bel-Air is an American sitcom that originally aired on NBC from September 10th, 1990 to May 20th, 1996. The show stars Will Smith as a fictional version of himself, a street-smart teenager from West Philadelphia, born and raised, who is sent to move in with his wealthy aunt and uncle in their Bel-Air mansion after getting into a fight on a street basketball court. In the series, his lifestyle often clashes with the lifestyle of his relatives in Bel-Air. The series ran for 6 seasons and aired 148 episodes. The show hit syndication in 1994. JD, for our audience that maybe doesn't know much about sitcoms and syndication, how big of a deal is it to hit syndication for a TV show?
Yeah, that's kind of like you don't have to go to work anymore, but you get paid.
Absolutely. I hear that, and I don't know what the numbers are for Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, but every single year, the cast of Friends gets a nice fat check when they move to a new network. So yeah, I just think this is, you know, not to compare it to Friends, they're totally different shows. I'm sure Fresh Prince of Bel-Air gets the same thing. They don't release those numbers. But yeah, I mean, the development happened in 1989. NBC approached Will Smith, who was a popular rapper during the late 1980s. Pilot episode began taping May 1st, 1990, and season one first aired in September of 1990, ending in May of 1991. The theme song, Yo Home the Bel-Air, was written and performed by Smith under the stage name The Fresh Prince. The music was composed by Quincy Jones, who is credited with Smith at the end of each episode. The music often used to bridge scenes together during the show and is based on a similar chord structure. JD, what do you think of the theme song Yo Home the Bel-Air? It's one of my favorites.
It's instantly classic. It's unforgettable. I mean, you can do and you could be anywhere in public and everybody's going to break out in song with you. I'm sure there's a power ranking of best theme songs in terms of their quality, their structure, their harmonics and lyrics. And I feel like this would be a competitor.
Okay. With that said, I'm going to challenge you a little bit here. Give me your top 3 sitcom theme songs of all time.
Mr. Belvedere.
Okay.
Blossom.
Okay.
Golden Girls.
Interesting takes.
Thank you.
Okay. I would actually go Fresh Prince. I think it's my favorite. Married with Children, number 2, and Friends, number 3.
Interesting.
So if you remember, the Married with Children was such a good little jingle.
I would throw Step by Step up in the mix as well, but.
Oh, that's not bad. I thought for sure you'd go Dawson's Creek for some reason.
You said sitcom.
That was a sitcom.
Dawson's Creek was not a sitcom.
Okay. What would you consider it then? Yeah, I guess they were longer episodes, weren't they? I never really got into the show.
It was a teen drama?
Yeah, you're right. I thought they were more sitcom, but I didn't watch their show. Let's talk about some reviews. Normally we get in the Rotten Tomatoes and all the box office, but we don't really have that for this. So I did find a review from Larry Rother of the New York Times, who wrote, "It took less than a decade for rap music to push its way off the streets of South Bronx and become a dominant force in the top 40. Now, in a programming gamble, which watched in network and advertising offices, NBC is about to find out whether the rap or hip-hop style can dent the Nielsen rating. The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, a half-hour situation comedy with rapper Will Smith in the title role, went on the air on Monday as the most highly touted show of the fall television season. It is an unusual status to be conferred on a new program that is based on an untried premise, leans on associations with a musical genre unknown to many viewers, and stars a 21-year-old who's never acted before. The series got off to a solid start, with its premiere episode scoring 13.6 in the Nielsen ratings, outpacing CBS's Uncle Buck, also a new program. But how well Fresh Prince will really fare will become clear only after full competition resumes Tuesday, when ABC's MacGyver returns for the fall and Fox's Night at the Movies makes its debut later. Let's talk about Will Smith here. Rather kind of freestyles in the article that there's some uncertainty if rap or hip-hop style will dent the ratings. Well, not only did it do that, but Will Smith would have a lot of life after Fresh Prince. So let's talk about him a little bit, JD, and what do you think about Will Smith here as the Fresh Prince? Master William.
Don't be getting up in that. What's up with all that, Jeffrey?
That was a horrible Will Smith impression. You know, Will Smith is a unique property in Hollywood, especially for a lot of us millennials that grew up watching Fresh Prince and then watched him transition from goofy, stringy, bopping around and making fun of Carlton into a hunky action star. Yeah. And, you know, I couldn't put a pin on when I first saw the pilot episode, but going back and rewatching it and seeing his antics was kind of surprising to me. Like, to watch him in this intro pilot episode, I was just kind of like, that's what they went with. That's what he wore. That's how he acted. This is what he's saying. He's dancing. He's rapping. Like, he was very much a clown. And it was hilarious. And he did such a great and successful job at it. But to see where he started and where he went is just such a phenomenal journey.
Yeah, and after the series ended, he transitioned pretty much full-time to just film. I don't think he's ever done anything else with TV. And he went on to star in numerous blockbuster films, and he's actually the only actor to have 8 consecutive films gross over $100 million in the domestic box office, 11 consecutive films gross over $150 million internationally, and 8 consecutive films in which he starred opened the number one spot domestically as well. He ranks by Forbes as the most bankable star worldwide. And as of 2014, 17 of 21 films in which he has had leading roles have accumulated worldwide gross earnings of over $100 million each, 5 taking in over $500 million globally at the box office. And he's taken home some nominations too. He had a performance for the boxer Muhammad Ali in Ali in 2001, a stockbroker Chris Gardner in The Pursuit of Happiness, which he won. He received nominations for the Academy Award for Best Actor in those roles. Do you have a favorite Will Smith movie? I know normally I make a joke out of it, but do you have a favorite of his?
In like serious or just yeah. like?
Yeah, seriously.
I did, and I haven't seen the movie in many years, but when I originally saw it, I did love his take in Ali. Yeah. I remember liking that movie. I, for what it's worth, was a big fan of iRobot, but at the end of the day, Wild Wild West still is going to win out.
See, this is what I'm looking forward to in a couple episodes from now. We're going to be doing Independence Day right around the 4th of July. We'll tease that a little bit, but that's my favorite Will Smith movie. It also has Jeff Goldblum, so 6 Degrees of Separation. We're also doing Lost World next week, so we got a lot of Will Smith and Jeff Goldblum over the next couple weeks.
And there's nothing wrong with that. I think that our listeners need to respond positively. I think the demand is high for some Will and Jeff double team action.
Let's jump into some interesting facts here. Jada Pinkett Smith tried out for the role of Lisa, but was denied because of her height, or I should say the height difference between her and Will Smith, and due to their lack of chemistry. Ironically, this is where they first met and would get married 3 years later. How funny is that?
That is really kind of, that's a neat little Hollywood story there.
Yeah, so the executives say, she's not right, we've got no chemistry, and he's like, eh? I'm about to get some jam up in that jelly. Isn't that one of his lines? I don't know.
I like it. I mean, it's now solidified as a line in all of the annals of history.
We've got lots of his lines in the show. I can't wait. So despite portraying himself as Will Smith on the show as being charismatic, self-confident playboy, Will Smith has admitted to behaving nothing like the title character in which he played. In reality, he was a shy, awkward teen who was very insecure about approaching and dating girls. Man, it's hard to believe that, JD. Are you calling BS on that?
I mean, for you hear that a lot with And I know he came into the series as a rapper, but he's got a lot of comic elements to him. And you hear that oftentimes with comedians. And it just, it reminds me of that scene in the movie Hitch when they do the flashback to who he was in college when he got his heart broken.
Oh, wow. Good. Nice catch. Yeah, that's good. I wonder if that's based off, maybe he made that part of the character. I mean, if he had influence on the writing.
He kind of, in that movie Hitch, he is Hitch, you know?
Right.
He's just that big of a stud.
And at that point, he's a massive star, so I'm sure he has creative control on most of that. Interesting. I kind of call BS. I feel like it's that episode of American Pie when I tried to pass myself off as Finch and you said, easy shit, Brick. We all know that you weren't Finch. I don't know. I think this is him just being like, oh, you know, I'm a nice guy. Come on. I'm not buying it. I think he was a player. Come on. Uncle Phil's law firm in the show is called Firth, Wind, and Meyer, which, of course, is a play on the name of the band Earth, Wind, and Fire, which producer Quincy Jones is a big fan of. Did you catch that in the first episode? They dropped the name of the show, and then Will turns around and goes, oh man, Earth, Wind, and Fire, when's your next album coming out?
I did not put that together. That's actually really clever writing.
According to Alfonso Ribeiro Carlton, the whole cast was like one big family, except for Janet Hubert, Aunt Vivian, who was reported as being difficult to work with and changed the mood on set. James Avery corroborated. He recalled that he constantly had to remind Hubert that the show was the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, not Philip and Vivian of Bel-Air. We've got some controversy. They end up replacing her completely in season 3 after she turned down a contract that would have her in about half of the amount of shows. And she's even gone on to say that Will Smith was a diva and he acted horribly and he bullied people on set and that she got fired for no reason. And she basically called Alfonso Ribeiro cuckoo for what he said. And she has nothing good to say about him at all. Did you know that Aunt Vivian was replaced in the third season? And did it change your view of the show at all?
Yeah, that's something that I remember realizing when I was younger, having watched the show. I obviously, pre-internet, we weren't able to really have those facts easily at our fingertips to put two and two together. It did nothing for me to change the show. And I'm guessing she did nothing after she left the show, really, with her career. So, you know, flinging accusations against accusations is just sort of like, I don't know, it seems like a bad business practice.
Speaking of bad business, Will Smith had major IRS problems, and he had to surrender about 70% of his paycheck for the first 3 seasons of the show. That's some serious tax fraud there, isn't it?
Wesley Snipes levels.
I know. Cause you gotta imagine, by season 2 or 3, he's making some money on the show.
Well, and he's 20, you said 21 years old in season 1? So you gotta think 24... you know, 21, 22, 23, 24 years old, to be having that amount of money, to be making it and being that young and fresh in, in Hollywood, like, it has to be so difficult to try to know what to do and how to do it. I wouldn't be surprised if there's a big, long paper trail of a story behind that.
Yeah. Yep, definitely something to look into there. Let's talk about the ending of the show. So Fresh Prince was originally canceled by NBC after the 4th season, with the series finale being the episode where Will moves back to Philadelphia. However, fan reaction and letters written to Will Smith and NBC persuaded them to renew the show, and it ended up continuing for 2 more seasons until season 6, where Will Smith felt the sitcom was losing steam. And he wanted his acting career to go full force, and it was decided that the sitcom was to end with the Banks family moving to New York and Will deciding to stay in California to finish his degree. Man, I don't think I've ever saw the ending of this show, so that kind of surprised me. I did not know that that was how the show ended.
Yeah, I got to say, I'm with you. I don't necessarily recall how it ends, and that sort of happened with a lot of shows from the 90s that, you know, I remember watching religiously when I was little, and then as the show evolved, like, I just you know, you stop tuning in every Friday or whenever it's on. But I mean, it reminds me a lot of what happened with the TV show Seventh Heaven. They went through the same sort of strenuous breaking up of syndication with their recordings, and they recorded a final episode and then switched networks and then filmed another season, and it was just all shit.
Hey, JD, why were you watching Seventh Heaven?
Because Stephen Collins said that it should be really good, and he told me I was a very nice boy, and...
Note to self, JD watches weird shows.
Did you not watch Seventh Heaven?
No.
Seventh Heaven was kind of a cool show. Barry Watson, Simon Camden was in Super 8, the one Lucy chick was in a Saw movie, Jessica Biel!
Okay, I'm down with Jessica Biel. Got my beak twitching.
Whoa.
Okay, let's take a pause for the cause. We'll take a little bathroom break, and we'll be back on the other side with the full review of episode 1 of The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Wait a minute, what are you doing, Don?
I need fuel.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Phantom Dark Dave, and I want to tell you about my new show, Dave's Pop Culture Podcast. So everybody knows me as a horror buff, but did you know I like so many different things? I like science fiction, comic books, cartoons. What better way than to express myself than a podcast that can pretty much talk about anything? You're going to have interviews, run-throughs, general conversations. So if you want to do something a little out of the ordinary and have something interesting all in the same, come check me out, Dave's Pop Culture Podcast.
Here, Benson. This is for you.
Oh, but I didn't get you anything.
All right, so we're back from the bathroom break and ready to start the review here. So right off the bat, we got to talk about the intro here. I kind of noticed that this was a little bit of an extended version of the one I remember from later years. Felt like it was about 20 or 30 seconds longer. What did you think about kind of rewatching this and knowing that it's the first episode and, you know, some of the extra stuff that was in there?
Yeah, I know there was a moment a few years ago where I sort of did some research on the theme song and then found out that there was the extended version with a few extra verses in it. So, you know, rewatching it and seeing that the pilot episode included that was kind of a treat. There is a longer version of the theme song for those of you that don't know. If you haven't watched the pilot episode, there's more verses to be had.
The show begins, Will playing the beat of we will rock you at the front door. He enters and says, hey, Uncle Phil, gives him a big hug. Of course, this is not Uncle Phil, it's Jeffrey the butler. He tells Will, I am not your Uncle Phil. Will said, he must have the wrong crib, but man, I didn't realize there's so many brothers living in this hood. Jeffrey tells him that he has the right house, and he starts calling him Master William. Will tells him he's not down with that, the whole Master William thing, that's gotta go. He wants him to say it more like he's back on the plantation. What do you think of the first impression of Will here? And he's coming out the gates pretty strong here.
I think our first introduction to Will Smith, the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, is kind of a bold display of characterization to who he is. And the introduction of what we're going to get for him is he's very lively, he's very animated, he's very spirited. And I'm going to use this word again, and it's going to come up a few times. He's kind of a clown. He's dressed brightly. You know, his actions are so, like, he's all over the place. And I think it's funny, you know, what he's saying. And I think that there's a lot to be had for, you know, the comparison to a lot of the, if you want to call it, racial tensions that we're dealing with in modern society.
Yeah.
And how he treaded those lightly to, like, walk into the house and be like, you know, I'm in Bel-Air. There's a lot of brothers in this area. Who knew? Kind of like, it's almost tongue-in-cheek ahead of its time.
Yeah, good point. Aunt Vivian and Uncle Phil enter. Aunt Vivian can't believe how much he's grown up since the last time she saw him. Will says, well, yeah, that's the idea. And he turns to Uncle Phil and says, looks like we've all grown up. And he taps him on the stomach. Will sits down to tell Vivian about the flight. Let's listen to our first clip here of explaining it to Uncle Phil and how his flight was.
Did you enjoy the trip?
Oh, yo, the plane ride was stupid. I was on the first class, man.
Excuse me?
No, I'm saying the plane was dope.
Excuse me?
No, stupid, dope. Oh, no, that doesn't mean what you... How would he...
The flight was really neat.
Yeah.
Jeffrey, would you take Will to his room, please, and help him get settled in?
Yes, madam.
I see.
Mm-hmm. Monster with him?
You gotta love this guy, right?
All right. So what do you think of the clip there and the back and forth with him and Uncle Phil?
It makes for a really funny juxtaposition between who they are in their stages of life, both age-wise and then from the areas that they've come from. So it still applies to younger generations and older generations today. I don't know what the hell kids are saying. You know, like, what does savage mean? I don't know. Do you know?
I have no idea. But that's a new one. Yeah, the one thing I kind of noticed here that was exciting, just even listening to just the audio and not seeing his face, we got to talk about the fact that that's the voice of Shredder from the TV series.
Yeah, that's true.
And he sounds just like him when you're not looking at him saying the lines. Like, when it's just the audio, I'm like, there he is, Master Shredder.
That is Shredder. No, that's horrible. In my head, I was doing it so spot on.
Yeah, I have a good one, but I got to listen to more of him talk a little bit to get the right tune. You're probably the same. That should be a future episode. We're going to do TV series. We got to do that. Got to get into some real Ghostbusters, too.
That would be interesting to do the comparison of the first episode of those with their movies and do like a whole... We can tie in the video games. We haven't talked about toy lines in a very long time with any of the movies that we've done.
I agree. We got to get back to that. Perfect timing will be Jurassic Park next week. Stay tuned. So Will leaves with Jeffrey. Uncle Phil is not happy with the language and the way he's dressed. Vivian wants him to cut Will some slack. She says they used to use slang like that as well. Ashley enters and Will comes back in the living room. He says, man, this room is huge. I'm about to leave some breadcrumbs next time I leave. Aunt Vivian says she's going to go take a swim. And Ashley comments that the pool heater is broken. And she turns to Will and says, don't you just hate that, Will? And he's like, oh, yes, that's my biggest pet peeve. And of course, he's being sarcastic because he's been in the hood of Philadelphia. No private pool. Will can't believe they have their own pool. And Ashley cuts and says, yeah, we have our own tennis court, too. And Will says, this is better than Love Boat. I'm just going to be out here chilling and relaxing. Uncle Phil says, now hold on. We promised your mom you're going to get here. You're going to work hard. You're going to straighten out. And you're going to learn some good old-fashioned American values. Enter Hillary. She's got two giant handfuls of bags and says, Dad, I need $300. He wants to know why, and she says that she needs a new hat. JD, what's your first impression of Hillary?
The last hat I bought was $10 and I purchased it on a street corner. So I don't know about no $300 hat, but again, I love the way that the show sets up the difference between, you know, where Will came from, you know, and I know that throughout the show, it hints a lot about what he's gone through and he's had a tough life, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it's not all fun and games. Like when he cuts out all the jive and the whatnot, he's actually a really well-spoken, intelligent character, and it's just so funny that Hillary is just so the opposite, having all of the benefits and opportunities that Will had yet to have, and she's such a...
On a side note, I thought Hillary was the bee's knees when I was a teenager. I was like obsessed with her. I thought she was super hot.
Was it the hats?
It wasn't the hat.
You had the hots for the hats.
Nope, definitely wasn't the hat. It's probably the legs. What? Okay. Upstairs, we're in Will's room. He's bouncing off the walls, dancing. He is stapling a poster to the wall. It's Malcolm X. And you can actually see the wall move every time he staples it, which made me laugh. And then the camera pans out a little bit, and you can see a black roof. So it's so clear that they're on a soundstage, but... I mean, this is sitcom TV. It's no big deal. But did you catch any of that?
The wall bouncing I did, but I was just so like infatuated with his Gumby-like movements. I was just watching him dance around and staple the poster was just hypnotic.
Hey, who do you think's more Gumby-like, him or Jim Carrey?
Jim Carrey.
All right. Well, we've got plenty of Jim Carrey in our archives. Check out The Mask and check out Ace Ventura, Pet Detective. Ashley enters Will's room. She gives him a poster that says, "Welcome home, Will." And he's like, "Man, this is a nice poster. Thank you, Ashley." And they start to have a little chat. And then she explains that she tried out to be in some type of like school play, but she couldn't remember her lines. And Will's like, "Man, you should try rapping, because if you mess up your lines, you just make some new ones on the spot." Ashley and Will start rapping. Uncle Phil enters and says, "Look who's here." They look and it's Carlton. And Will goes, "Who's that?" "Cousin Carlton. You know, when you two were babies, everyone used to say you guys look so much alike." Will stands up and he's about a foot taller than him. And he says, "Yeah, some things never change." Carlton is wearing a sweater that's tied around his neck. He's got a button-up dress shirt, dress shorts. And he comments on Will's poster and says, "Ah, Malcolm X." Will wants to know who his idol is. "Well, my dad and Bryant Gumbel, because he's darn good." JD, what'd you think of your first impression of Carlton?
Carlton will always be Carlton. And he will always be Carlton in this moment. Mm-hmm. Completely dressed to the nine with the pleated shorts and the sweater draped across his shoulders. Like, he's the epitome of, you know, the exact opposite of Will. And they do a great job of establishing each of the characters in this episode. And they do a great job of playing out both that camaraderie and tension between them throughout the series. And I don't know, it's a really great setup for what we can expect for many years.
Yeah. Who do you think is more typecast, Carlton or Screech?
I'm sorry, do either of them get cast?
Carlton does. He gets cast, but he's more like reality TV, Dancing with the Stars, hosting stuff. Screech tried to stab somebody with a fork and got arrested.
Wasn't he in a porno as well?
He sure was.
Did you see that?
Yep, Screech's beak.
You saw Screech's beak?
Yeah. I don't think it's real, though. I think it was a fake beak.
Like in that episode of Entourage.
Yes.
There we go. Full circle.
So, Uncle Phil wants to know if he's talking to Will. He wants to know if he's ever attended a private dinner. He tells him, "Whatever you do, just be yourself. And if all else fails, just do what Carlton does." He looks over to Carlton, who's doing golf swing. And then as they leave the room, Will goes over to the mirror and he pictures himself in Carlton's outfit and just starts yelling. Downstairs, Uncle Phil says, "Vivian, where is he?" He says, "He's upstairs getting ready." "No, not Will. Ronald Reagan." Vivian doesn't understand why he keeps inviting Ronald Reagan to the parties. Phil says, "Because he's our neighbor." She says, "He's turned down our last 16 invitations. And I can't stand her." Talking about the first lady. Will enters with a colorful shirt. He's got his blue hat on sideways and Michael Jordan shoes on. JD, who do you think had more MJs in the 1990s, me or Will Smith?
Obviously, I know it's you, and I know that you're just bringing that up to rub my face in it.
As soon as I saw the shoes, I was like, oh, he's going to be pissed.
Son of a bitch bastard. Dirty Work, an episode in our archives.
Yeah. Uncle Phil introduces Will to his law partners. "Will, these are the partners. Earth, Wind, and Meyer." Will says, "Ah, Earth, Wind, and Fire. When's your next album coming out?" One of Uncle Phil's partners says, "You know, I used to do fencing at the academy." Will says, "Oh, yeah? How much do you think we get for that stereo over there?" And the guy's just speechless. At dinner, Will taps on a glass. He realizes it makes a nice little clinking noise, and then he starts making a beat out of the glasses. Hillary cuts him off and says, "There are other people at the table, Will." Will apologizes and says, "Are there any requests?" And Vivian wants Ashley to say grace next, and let's listen to Ashley, who's already been influenced by her new cousin, Will.
"Sweetie, would you say grace, please?"
"Yes, Mommy." "Hey there, Lord, my name is Ashley Banks. My family and friends want to give you some thanks. So before this dinner's all swollen and chewed, thank you, God, for this stupid food."
JD, what do you think of Ashley busting out the rap on Grace?
She's got a good handle of how to lay it down. And you know what? I didn't necessarily put two and two together, having watched later episodes and then rewatching this, that, you know, she does come full circle and there's like a whole subplot of her having like a singing career, right?
Oh, she does, yeah.
So that's kind of cool to see that get established and to, you know, see her get a lot of influences from her cousin. But, you know, I really just want to say, like, it's moments like this in sitcoms from the 90s that kind of ruined my childhood in a lot of ways, because I kind of thought, like, after you see this on TV, you think like, oh, that would be cute to do. And then you try to pull a stunt in front of that, like that in front of your family, and they just look at you like you're stupid. So, yeah, do not rap Grace.
So Will and Jeffrey are having a quick chat in the living room when Uncle Phil comes in. I'm going to play another clip here in a moment, but I just want to add, I think this is one of the really cool things that I liked about Fresh Prince is there's a lot of shtick, there's a lot of humor, but there's also a lot of real moments in here. And this is one of them here. Anything you want to add on that, JD, before we play the clip?
Yeah, it must have been nice for your dad to give you the time of day.
Yeah, Danish. Let's listen to it.
I want to talk to you.
About what?
You know, from the minute you walked in that door, you've been a one-man wrecking crew, trying to tear down what's taken a lot of hard work to build up, skewering everything with your flippant shenanigans.
Hey, man, I was with you up till skewering.
You know what I'm talking about. You deliberately tried to embarrass me tonight, and I don't get it. Your aunt and I went through a lot of trouble to bring you out here. And this is the thanks we get?
And I ain't asked to come here. Everybody's talking about shipping me off and dressing me up and changing me into something that I don't want
to
be.
Nobody wants to change you.
You told me yourself I got to straighten out and when in doubt, act as Carlton X. Man, I don't want to be like Carlton. I mean, I'm a joker. I play around. I have fun.
Mm-hmm. Being a joker is what's gotten you into trouble. Now, you may think it's cool to be on the streets when you're 17, but when you're my age, it's a waste.
You know, I can't think that far ahead.
Well, that's your problem. You can't take anything seriously.
Look, man, I don't have a problem, all right? You had a problem. All right, I remind you of where you came from and what you used to be. Now, I don't know, somewhere between Princeton or the office, you got soft. You forgot who you are and where you came from.
You think you're so wise. Look at me when I'm talking to you. Let me tell you something, son. I grew up on the streets just like you. I encountered bigotry you could not imagine. Now, you have a nice poster of Malcolm X on your wall. I heard the brother speak. I read every word he wrote. Believe me, I know where I come from.
You actually heard Malcolm speak, man?
That's right. So before you criticize somebody, you find out what he's all about. Take care of you in the morning. I'm going to bed.
Oh, hold on. I can't tell my side is yours?
You can't tell your side of the story. I know what you're all about. Believe me, the very thought of it makes me very, very tired. Good night.
So it kind of ends with a little bit of humor, though. I just think that's a powerful scene, man. What'd you think?
Yeah, it really is. And again, it's a scene that you rewatching in 2018 really speaks to a lot of the social issues that are bubbling to like the forefront of conversation. Like it's a great opportunity for Uncle Phil to connect with Will, who, as we later learn, has a lot of abandonment issues. He has a lot of issues with authority and father figures. And right from the get-go, we have Uncle Phil trying to establish a baseline for one, what a good relationship is, and his new role as a adoptive father. I don't even know what you would call Uncle Phil to Will, other than Uncle or Shredder. But it's a cool scene, and they do a good job of mixing the serious and the levity of it with comedy, because you say, oh, and then you chuckle.
Uncle Phil leaves and Will starts playing some classic music on the piano. You see Uncle Phil kind of come back in the room. He doesn't say anything, but he just kind of smiled. Scene ends. Upstairs, we're in Ashley's bedroom. She's dancing with her headphones on. JD, did you ever have a Walkman?
Oh, yeah, obviously.
What were your go-to tunes on the Walkman?
I recorded it off the radio, of course. B96.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I love B96. We got that. That was a good station. They still have B96.
Yeah, but I don't think Eddie and Jobo are on it anymore.
No. Was Mancow on that one, too, or was that The Loop?
He was Q101.
Q101, there you go. That's good stuff. I remember, I think my go-to was Michael Jackson. And it was, I think it was the Black or White album. I had that on tape.
I remember my older brother got that for Christmas. What, that had to have been like 91 or 92 when that came out? Maybe 90? I don't fully remember, but he used to listen to it nonstop on his tape deck in his room.
I'm also excited to talk about the Talk Boy from Home Alone 2, future episode. Will enters the room. Ashley can't hear him or see him. He just starts dancing behind her. Ashley turns around and says, "Can you teach me the dance?" Will says, "Yeah, but not in this room, because even this room makes me lose my rhythm." He asks if she's seen a Walkman anywhere, so if you happen to see it turn up, like, on your head, could you let me know? Ashley quickly takes it off and apologizes. She hands it back and says, "My father won't let me have one. He says he wants to hear everything I hear." Will says, "Hey, from time to time, father's going to do some things like that. He's going to do some things that seem irrational or hard for you to understand, but it's not because he's mean or a bad guy. It's not because he doesn't care about you, because he's from Mars, Ashley." She starts laughing. Ashley says, "I'm really glad you're living here, Will. You're like big brother I never had." He says, "No, what about Carl? Okay, you're right. I see what you did there." What do you think of the scene here with Ashley and Will?
It's another great opportunity to establish the different relationships that carries on throughout the show. And obviously, Ashley grows a lot as Will grows. And they have an instant connection. She recognizes who he is and the role that he can play in her life that she's not getting from her traditional, well-off Bel Air family at this point.
Ashley is trying to show Will where all the bathrooms are. In the next scene here, the first bathroom, we hear Carlton singing. They go over to the second one and they knock. Hillary says, "Can't a girl just gargle in peace?" Will says, "Are you going to be in there a while, or are you just making a pit stop?" She says she's going to be a while. She's got to take her makeup off. So Will makes some steps really loud, like he's gone. And the door opens and she comes out and her face is covered in cream. And Will says, "I knew it." And then the credits start to roll. So that's the end of the first episode. What do you think of the ending here?
A good little outro, good little number to sort of exit on. We get a, you know, again, establishing the back and forth that will be Hillary and Will for many years to come, and just how inconsiderate Will is and how overly obsessive Hillary is over her appearance.
Yep. Yeah, I think it's a strong first episode. I can definitely see why this show scored really well with the Nielsen ratings and went on to have a lot of successful seasons afterward. I'm glad we got to do this one.
Yeah, totally agree. Props to you guys, the audience, for choosing this. It was a bold strategy, a bold vote to have us review an episode of a TV show. And it was a lot of fun to watch. And you can't watch a first episode, a pilot episode, without remembering all of the subsequent episodes that come after it. So it's fun to revisit it because of that.
I kind of would like the idea of doing the last episode now. I don't know if that'll be sometime soon. Because we got a lot of stuff coming up that we've already planned out. But I think it'd be cool to do the first and last episode. What do you think?
Yeah, that would be an interesting one to do. I mean, with any series, to do a first to a last episode, I would want to add, like, write articles about it, to do like comparative analysis of first to last episode with character development and just how they've grown. I'm obviously thinking of Home Improvement and the first to last episode series.
Yeah, that one's got a ton. Could you imagine doing like the first and last for a show like Breaking Bad? That would be crazy.
It would be a lot of fun. I've seen other articles on the internet where they do like at least like a pictorial comparison of the actors from the first episode to the finale. And it's always fun to see that, you know, like I personally love looking at that progression.
Absolutely. So that's going to wrap it up for our Fresh Prince episode. I want to thank you guys again for hitting the download button on the podcast, and we appreciate your support. We're going to be back next week with the full episode and the teaser trailer on Monday for The Lost World Jurassic Park, and we're really excited to get into that. You can support this podcast by clicking the subscribe button on Apple Podcasts, iTunes, Google Play, YouTube, Podtrack, and anywhere else you get your podcast listening. And just make sure you like, share, and retweet our post. That's going to help us spread the word and continue to grow every single week. You can support our sponsor over at bunny17media.com. Use promo code BACKINTIME at checkout and save yourself 15%. It is that time of the episode, though, to climb back into the DeLorean, punch in today's date, and return back to present day. We'll talk to you next week. See ya.
Wild Wild West, Jim West, Desperado, Rough Riders, no, you ain't got nada. The license plate said Christian in a dice in the mirror. If anything, I can say that this cab was rare, but I thought, nah, forget it. Yo, homie.